From Washington, this is VOA News. Russia protests, new U.S. sanctions, Joe Palca reporting. President Donald Trump signed into law a measure sanctioning Russia, and Moscow doesn't like it. The sanctions measure, which passed overwhelmingly in the U.S. Congress, reprimands Russia for its Ukraine policy and alleged meddling in last year's U.S. election. Now, the meddling is a charge Russia has denied, but most all U.S. intelligence agencies say they did it. Vasily Nebenzia is Russia's new U.N. ambassador.
I really wonder, is there anything in this world today which Russia is not guilty of? Some of U.S. officials were saying that this is a bill that might encourage Russia to cooperate to the United States. To me, that's a strange sort of encouragement. But it's not our habit to be resentful children and to be, to get offended with anything that happens around. We will not relent on finding ways and means to cooperate with our partners, including the United States.
White House spokesperson Sarah Huckabee Sanders said Mr. Trump signed the measure into law in the interest of national unity, despite what she called the significant flaws and unconstitutional provisions limiting his authority over foreign policy. Hal Brands is a professor of global affairs at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies.
President Trump really had no choice but to sign the sanctions bill for two reasons. The first is that given the suspicions of collusion between his administration and the Russian government during the 2016 campaign, for him to have vetoed the bill would have simply sent those suspicions into overdrive and caused significant political damage. The other and more pragmatic reason is simply that the bill passed by veto-proof majorities in both the House and the Senate. So he could have vetoed it, but it simply would have been passed into law regardless.
Russia has already retaliated by seizing two properties. This is VOA News. A South African man held by al-Qaeda in Mali since 2011 has been freed. Stephen McGowan was the last of three foreign nationals abducted in Timbuktu in November of 2011 to be freed. The governments of Mali and South Africa worked together, along with NGO Gift to the Givers, to negotiate his release, but South African International Relations Minister told a media briefing in Pretoria that no ransom was paid. Russia's defense ministry announced Thursday the start of a new local ceasefire in Syria that covers an area north of the city of Homs. Ministry spokesman Major General Igor Konashenkov said the truce was going into effect at noon local time and would include an area that has more than 147,000 people. He said the details of the ceasefire were discussed last week at a meeting in Cairo between Russian and Syrian rebel representatives. At least four people were killed Wednesday after gunmen ambushed a convoy of buses in South Sudan. Several others were wounded. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. The attack occurred on a main highway between the capital of Juba and the Ugandan border. At least 14 people were killed in a similar attack in June, claimed by a rebel group. A tragic coda in what had been a heartwarming story about a group of girls from Afghanistan who'd been initially denied entry into the United States due to the recent travel ban. This would have prevented this robotics team from competing in the International Robot Olympics for high school students in Washington, D.C. The girls, due to President Trump's personal intervention, would eventually compete and win a silver medal and were celebrated throughout the U.S. as a symbol of inspiration for all of Afghanistan. One of the young ladies was 14-year-old Fatima Kadarian. Her father was killed in a suicide attack on a Shiite mosque in the city of Herat. Mohammed Asif Kadarian was wounded in the attack and later on died. The attack was carried out by Islamic State. Brazil's president, Michel Temer, survived a vote in the country's lower house of Congress that would have launched a Supreme Court trial leading to his ouster over bribery charges. Peter Hakim is a senior fellow at the Washington-based Inter-American Dialogue, said Mr. Temer has now some political space to act.
His victory is being able to push back against the country's attorney general and avoiding his case going to court. He is in a slightly better position than he was last week.
Hakim said his proposals, such as pension reform, are highly unpopular but much needed. Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.